All right, open your Bibles to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. I've been preaching on the mind, and several of you have come up to me saying, man, this is so important, the concept of the mind and how the mind is vital, that we have our minds focused on Christ and we become spiritually minded. And so today I want to talk about the renewed mind. We've talked about the corrupted mind, the mind of faith. And today I want to talk about the renewed mind, but it's going to take me a little bit to get there, okay? So just hold with me. Romans 8 has been called by some the greatest chapter in the Bible. And I don't know, I believe I agree with it. There's so many great chapters, right? But this is one of the greatest chapters in the Bible. So I want to read a few verses here. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh on account of sin. He condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. But those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. Listen to verse 6. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Amen. To be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded, or as one man said, having a spirit-framed mind, or as the NASB says, a mind set on the Spirit. Being spiritually minded is life and peace. Why? The carnal mind is at war against God. That term enmity means hatred. It's at war. It's at variance against God. For it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. So then those who are in the flesh cannot please God. How many want to please God? Amen. I want to please God. And a way to do that, start thinking like He wants us to think. Jim Cimbala, who's pastor of the Brooklyn Tabernacle Church, wrote this. He said, a few years ago, I received a most interesting letter. It was from a woman who at one time regularly visited our church. Here's her story. She said, Pastor, I know you're aware of me. Cimbala says, I really wasn't, but and felt it only right to inform you that after 2.5 years absence, I will be visiting church this Sunday for worship service. I'm sure you know why I've stayed away all this time. I was standing with two other women in the lobby when you passed by on that summer Sunday. You greeted the first two warmly and smiled at them, but when it came to me, you never made real eye contact with me, and your handshake was weak and insincere. And I know all too well what that meant. You think you're better than me, and I don't meet your requirements as an important person. Oh, yes, I discerned the real meaning of the way you casually said, hello, but now I've forgiven you, and I'm ending my years of staying away from church. I know you don't care about me or this letter, but I found I should write it anyway. Wow. Cimbala said, I quickly had my assistant track her down so I could personally meet this woman who I had no knowledge of at all. After that Sunday service, she visited my office where I apologized for any personal hurt that had caused her, but I informed her that I didn't know her and had no recollection of that distant Sunday and hadn't intended to reject her in any way, shape, or form. We prayed together, and she left seemingly satisfied. But as she departed, I once again was reminded of the power of negative thinking and the tragic consequences of a mind not renewed by God's Word and Spirit. Imagine the mental images playing over and over for years in that poor lady's mind. How else could such a negative, rejection-filled personality develop without her mind being constantly bombarded by harmful thoughts that eventually settled in and took up residence? This is why the Word of God tells us that our minds need to be transformed and renewed. Cimbala went on and said, New York City police officers are trained to aim at mass. That is the larger part of the body when discharging their weapons in the line of duty. But snipers and SWAT team members look for headshots. Why? Because they're fatal. And this is also true in our daily spiritual walk, living for Christ. Satan tries to get a headshot. He wants to control our thoughts, and he wants to infiltrate our thinking and control our minds. Why? Because if he can do that, then he knows we're at great risk. So how about let's start today thinking like God wants us to think and have spiritual minds and renewed minds after we leave here. Amen? So I want to dig into this just a little bit and show you what's going on. Romans chapter 8, the word spirit is mentioned 21 times in Romans chapter 8. That's more than any other chapter in the Bible. 19 of those deal with the Holy Spirit. And it's not talking about the personality or characteristics of the Spirit, but instead, he's talking about the work of the Spirit, how the Spirit comes and works in our lives. Because you see, when we're saved, I am a Pentecostal to the bone, but when we are saved, I fully believe the Holy Spirit is the one who draws us to Christ. Jesus said, no man comes unto the Father unless the Spirit draw him. So the Spirit fully is the one drawing us to Christ, convicting us of sin. Then when we open up our hearts and accept Christ and repent of our sins, the Spirit comes in. He comes in and changes our lives. And he comes and lives with us. God is in us by virtue of the Spirit. The Spirit comes and lives in us. And when that happens, I believe we are transferred from one kingdom to another, from one status to another, from one form of existence even to another. And I talked about that last week. And we're given a mind of faith. A mind of faith that starts to think like God sees us. And we think of ourselves not as our former state was, but as we are now in a new state. We are a new creation. He said, now you are dead to sin, past tense. You've died to those old things. Now you have new life in Christ. And it takes a mind of faith to see that. Well, in chapter 8, what I think is happening here is Paul is saying, now the Spirit has come into the life of the believer, and now the Spirit is causing you to think in a new way. And now the Spirit is developing this new thought life in you. You're thinking now according to the Spirit. Because Paul classifies human beings in one of two categories in this chapter. Number one, there are those who are of the flesh. And number two, there are those who are of the Spirit. There are those who live their lives according to the flesh. And there are those who live their lives according to the Spirit. You're in one or two camps. And to Paul, flesh doesn't mean this body, but he means this world's way of thinking. So if you're living according to the flesh, you're living according to the thoughts and precepts of this world, this fallen world. But if you're living according to the Spirit, you're living according to the thoughts and precepts of the Holy Spirit, of the world to come. The future is dictating our now and controlling our now. So are you fleshly minded or are you spiritually minded? Let me put it another way. If you're living according to the flesh, you're living under the control and domination of this world's system. Or if you're living according to the Spirit, you're living under the control and domination of the Spirit. Can somebody say amen? Amen. So here we go again. Back to thinking. It's amazing if you think about it. No pun intended. If you think about it, how many times we're referred back to proper thinking? And we know the Greek concept, the New Testament concept of thinking is more than just rational thought. It also includes the will of man. But nonetheless, it's all back to thinking. How we think is important. How we think is super important. Because what frustrates me is that we have Christians who come in and worship and go along and everything's cool and it seems like they're just the greatest Christian ever was. But as soon as they get out of church, they think, they talk, and they act exactly like they did before they ever came to know Christ. Shouldn't be. Because once we come to know Him, our lives should be different. We believe in life transformation in this church. I've preached it. I've said it. I say it in our new members' classes. I say it over and over, and I will continue to say it. Our church welcomes everyone. I mean, I'm talking, I don't care where you're from, what kind of background you're from, what race you're of, what country you're from, what kind of church background you came from. I don't care if you're Hindu, Buddhist, Hare Krishna, Mormon, Jehovah's Witnesses, Scientologist. You're welcome here. I don't care if you're tatted, gauged, nose earring, live with an African tribe with earrings. I don't care. You're welcome in this church. Hallelujah. I don't care if you're gay, straight, transgender. You're welcome in this church. However, I'm going to preach Jesus, and I'm going to preach this Bible, and I'm going to preach life change for everybody who encounters Him. Come on, amen? Because if church has no life change, we don't need church. We can go to the Rotary Club. No offense to the Rotary Club, but we can just, or go to the Kiwanis or go to some other. But when we come to church, it's more than a social organization. It is a spiritual transformation of who we are. Things I used to do, I don't do no more. Y'all don't know that song. Places I used to go, I don't go no more. 'Cause the Lord made a change in me. Something different happened in my soul when I got saved. It caused me to think differently, act differently, treat people differently, look at my future differently. It shifted everything. Can you say amen? Okay, one more thing. Go with me to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. I want to read a couple verses here. And if you've been in church for any amount of time, you know these. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So what happens here? We take this spiritual mindedness to another level. Now Paul is categorizing people in one of two ways again. And it's the same kind of thing. But here he's saying people either are conformed to this world or they are being transformed by the Spirit. They're either conformed to this world or they're being transformed by the Spirit. Can we say amen? So the Spirit comes in and works in us, developing this process of changing our thinking. I mean, we talk about the Spirit, you know, in terms of theology. He comes for justification. He comes for sanctification. He comes for glorification. He comes, and we have all this beautiful theology of the Spirit. But yet, do we often stop and say, He comes to change the way I think. He comes to change the way I think. And man, it's amazing. He comes changing our thought patterns, changing our hopes and dreams and desires. So I'm going to give you three things that I think a renewed mind, that characterize a renewed mind. Okay, three things that characterize a renewed mind. Number one, a renewed mind doesn't think according to this age. It doesn't think according to this age or this world's thinking. A renewed mind doesn't think according to the world's thinking. You ever just read a certain news article online or someone speak on TV and you're thinking, what are they thinking? Come on, I know you've done that. Or you're like, I'm not saying this is a good thing, but I basically stopped watching news a long time ago. I do catch snippets here and there, and I do read online sometimes, but I like got so frustrated, man, because news just went polarized. It's this or that, and it's like both are making me upset. It's like college basketball. I stopped watching it really at one point. Why? Because I got too upset. I thought, I'm going to lose my sanctification if I keep watching Kentucky lose like this. So I just care. From afar, I see the scores. I want to be a man of the Spirit, not a man of throwing bricks at the TV. Oh, hallelujah. So a renewed mind doesn't think like this world's thinking. It focuses on the coming age. Focuses on the things of the Spirit. It evaluates matter of this age in light of the coming age. A mind that's renewed recognizes and discerns God's will. Oh. You see, he said it approves the acceptable will of God. It means God comes in and renews our mind to where we can recognize the will of God and say amen to that. Do you remember back in Romans chapter 1 when we began this discussion? He said a depraved mind gets to the point to where it can no longer recognize the right thing. In fact, it approves the wrong thing and then justifies it and encourages others to do the wrong thing. That's a corrupted, depraved, reprobate mind. But now we've gone forward in Romans in this argument, and now he's saying, but a spiritual mind, a renewed mind, is one that can see the will of God, acknowledge it, affirm it, and practice it in one's life. So the old Hans and the old Hans still tries to resurrect. I told the early crowd, and I I don't know what it is about me and driving. I try to be super nice on the highway, but sometimes it just doesn't happen. I don't know what the deal is. And so when I'm in Virginia, you know, I kind of expect these things. But I'm leaving the church the other day. And in Elizabeth City, right? In little Elizabeth City. In kind and pleasant and southern Elizabeth City. In sweet tea loving and oyster eating. Muskrat deer killing. Wild turkey shooting Elizabeth City, right? And I left the church. And I go right down here to Farm Fresh, and I'm in the left lane, and I'm going really slow. And all of a sudden, somebody runs up behind me in this car, and I see them in my rearview mirror. So I turn my signal light on, because I'm going to get in this turning lane as soon as there's an opportunity. But all of a sudden, this car goes, and this young girl flips me off. And I thought, okay, fleshly Hans or spiritual Hans? Which one's going to respond right here? Throat punch, pray for her. So I said, well, I'm going to be try to be spiritual here and pray blessings on that young girl. Lord Jesus, help her. Y'all been there and you know it, amen? Camden County. Total population of 9,800 residents. Where are you living? Ne'er is heard a discouraging word over there, all right? So it's like, and the deer and the antelope play. So I'm coming out of Camden on a two-lane road, of course. And I pull up. And I'm going to cross a four-lane road, and I'm looking both ways because I'm obeying the law. We got sheriffs in this congregation. I'm obeying the law, and I'm like. And this van pulls up behind me, and it's an old man. And all of a sudden, I hear, ah! I thought, you didn't do that to me in Camden County on this country road. I know you didn't do that to me. And so now I get nervous. I'm like, oh, Jiminy, I got to hurry and get out of here. This guy's going to get really ticked off. And then there's a little space, but I thought, I'm not going to dare it because I'm going to be a good driver and good resident. Amen? And so as soon as I didn't take that opening, I look at my rearview mirror, and this old man is like getting his exercise. Like, and I thought, if you're here today, I pray you repent in Jesus' name, come to the altar. Vengeance is mine, says the Lord, and I will repay. Right? It's not our job. So I say, okay, calm it down, Hans. Lord bless this guy. And I pull out on a 4-lane. And so you know how people are like that. They're like, they want to get around you. Well, this guy's getting around me. And I mean, sweet revenge in Jesus' name. State trooper just happens to pull right on his bumper. And follows that dude down the causeway. And they pass me and I'm like, I'm driving Miss Daisy, man. I'm like, yeah. It pays to be spiritually minded. You get these opportunities every day. Am I going to rip somebody's head off, or am I going to choose Jesus here? Am I going to give in to this sin and temptation, or am I going to be spiritually minded? And I'm telling you, I've been serving the Lord since I've been 16, and that's been a while ago, and still yet, every day, I still have to choose to live a righteous life. I have to choose it, man. You have to wake up and say, I'm going to think myself saved today. I know I am, but I'm going to think I'm saved right now. And I'm going to think I'm filled with the Spirit. I know I am, but I'm going to think it. And I'm going to think I'm sanctified. I know I am, but I'm going to think it today. Come on, somebody. To be spiritually minded or have a renewed mind is not to choose the world's way of thinking. Okay, so we've quoted this verse a lot, and we've taken that verse out of context a lot. You know, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And we've taken that, and we let it develop a life of its own. However, I looked at the context of the rest of this chapter, and it really surprised me what's connected to the renewed mind. And I thought, okay, does the rest of the chapter even fit with it? Well, I think so. And it's really fascinating when we see the context. So here's the rest of this. Notice this. A renewed mind also has a proper view of itself. What do I mean by this? If you read the next verses, after he talks about renewing your mind, what does he talk about? He talks about how the body of Christ is a body. It has many members. We all need each other. We all fit together like hand in glove. We have different gifts and different abilities, but we all need those abilities to be the body of Christ. So what does a renewed mind have to do with that? Well, I'm just going to venture out here. I think a renewed mind contextually says, as I begin to think like God wants me to, as I think spiritually, I realize I'm not all that and a bag of chips. I realize I'm not an island by myself. I realize I'm not all powerful, that I don't have all the gifts. But I realize there's a body of believers that I need. And there's a humility that drops into my spirit. That I'm humble about this in that I recognize I need others to get this thing done. So maybe you've never thought of that, but to be spiritually minded is to realize you need the body to help you do this thing. We need each other. This is why we push life groups and living free and ministries like this or our Sunday school classes. Get in smaller groups where you actually get to know someone and you develop a relationship with someone who can help pull you through this life. I remember years ago in small group, we would come every Thursday night to my house and have small group, and we would share, somebody needs a job. Well, we'd pray for it. Guess what? Next week, how's the job thing going? Well, I still need prayer. We keep praying. And I can't tell you how many people we saw get jobs, get healed, be filled with the Spirit, be successful in life, just because we developed relationships and helped pull each other through this life. Amen? To pull each other, the older I get, and the more I pastor, the more I realize I only have a couple things that I do well. And I'm working on those. I'm realizing more and more how much I don't do well and what my deficiencies are. So you know what? Thank God for a lot of great people around me that are coming around me. And it's all of you guys helping us link arms and do this thing. Can we say amen? So a spiritually minded person knows its proper place and understands it's part of the body of Christ. And the final thing here is a spiritual minded person, the person who has a renewed mind, understands that it's all about love. Where in the world are you getting that, Hans? Well, read the rest of this chapter. Listen to this. Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil, cling to what is good, be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love, in honor giving preference to one another, not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer, distributing to the needs of the saints, given to hospitality. All these are expressions of love. Bless those who persecute you in traffic. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. Be of the same. You know what? When someone dies, we weep with them. When someone has a loss, we weep with them. Why? Because they're part of our body. When someone gets a job, when someone has a baby, we celebrate. What? We're linked together, man. I feel your pain. I didn't do a good Bill Clinton there, but anyhow. Be of the same mind toward one another. Do not set your mind on high things, but associate with the humble. Do not be wise in your own opinion. Repay no one evil for evil. Have regard for good things in the sight of all men. If it's possible, as much as it depends on you, live peaceably with all men. Beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. So a renewed mind is a mind that's focused on the love of God. The flesh thinks, I'm the captain, I'm in charge of my own destiny, get out of my way. The renewed mind, the mind of the Spirit thinks, no, I need everybody in the body. Not only that, I love and I choose love over flipping somebody off in traffic. That just came out. That preaches right there. That's a sermon right there. I choose love instead of getting back at someone who hurt me. I choose the way of love instead of making decisions that will destroy my family. I choose love. Come on, are you with me on this? We choose the path of love. Hallelujah. Listen to this from the Message, paraphrase, Eugene Peterson's, because it just brings it to life, this same passage. He says, love from the center of who you are. Don't fake it. Run for dear life from evil and hold on to for dear life to good. Be good friends who love deeply and practice playing second fiddle. Don't burn out. Keep yourselves fueled in a flame. Be alert servants of the Master, cheerfully expectant. Don't quit in hard times. Pray all the harder. Help needy Christians and be inventive in hospitality. Bless your enemies. No cursing under your breath. Laugh with your happy friends when they're happy. Share tears when they're down. Get along with each other. Don't be stuck up. Make friends with nobodies. Don't try to be the great somebody. Don't hit back. Discover beauty in everyone. If you've got it in you, get along with everybody. Don't insist on getting even. That's not for you to do. I'll do the judging, says God. I'll take care of it. Our scriptures tell us that if you see your enemy hungry, go buy that person lunch. If he's thirsty, get him a drink. Your generosity will surprise him with goodness. Don't let the evil get the best of you, but get the best of evil by doing good. So what are two ways we can develop this renewed mind? Number one, you got to get in the Word. You have to get in the Word. Come on, hold it. Come on, if you got your Bible, you got your iPhone, you got your iPad, you got something, you got your tablets or scrolls, hold them up right now. Come on, wave it around. You need to get in this thing. You need to get in this thing and let this thing get in you. Because the only way you can transform your mind truly is to let the Word of God get in you. Listen to it on audio. Listen to someone read it. Listen to it preached. Listen to sermons. Read books about it. Study it. Get the Word of God in you. Develop a reading plan. Whatever you have to do, let the Word of God start to transform the way you think. Because it challenges, the Word should be challenging you. And when you read it, you're like, oh, how can we do this? You know, you read the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapters 5, 6, and 7, and you come up to that, like Martin Luther said years ago, it's like a holy mountain, and we come up to it and we say, God, I can't do this. And it breaks us, And it drops us at the feet of grace. And grace comes and picks us up and says, I'll help you fulfill this. The Spirit has to fulfill this in our lives. Get the Word in you. Why? Because it becomes your strong tower. It becomes your rock in time of need. You go to the Word. When you're in trouble, you go to the Word. When you're in trouble, you re-quote the Word. You read the Word. You saturate yourself in the Word. Turn it on at night. Maybe something will get in by osmosis. I don't know. But let it. Jack used to leave open Bibles all in the house. I first saw that. I'm like, okay, open Bible. What good does that do? And Jackie's more like, we're telling the devil. We live on the Word. Okay, open Bible's good with me, man. Hallelujah. Let me be in every room. Thank you, Jesus. You know, it's a shame. I said this in early service, so I'm going to get up in your grill too. If you can quote all the titles of all the episodes of the Keeping Up with the Kardashians, but you can't quote a Bible verse, then your thinking is skewed. If you can tell me all of the Bachelor last top 10 winners of the last 10 years, but you can't quote John 3:16, you're pouring into yourself the wrong stuff, man. And I'm not coming down just on programs. I'm just talking about the equity of what you study and what you allow in your mind. If you're watching 10 hours of Fox News, and giving the Lord 5 minutes in the Scripture, you're not on a proper diet. It's like you're eating sponge cake and coffee, and you have no protein or vegetables into your diet. And y'all done mad at me now. I feel the cold wave. Just like. If you watch 10 hours of CNN, how about that? And don't get into the Scripture, it's going to skew your thinking. If you work and turn on the country music station every day about drinking and gambling and cheating on your wife, and you lost a dog in the meantime, and that has 8 to 10 hours of your mind, and you come for 20 minutes of worship on Sunday mornings. I'm getting down right in your grill, man, and it's fun, I'm telling you what. Come on, get on a proper, look at your neighbor and say, get on a proper diet. You need to shape up and get to the gym, spiritually speaking. Get the Word of God in your heart. You know what you do when you go on a real diet? You cut out the junk. You cut out the junk. You start eating the good. What do you do spiritually? Cut out the junk and start eating the good. Second thing and finally, get filled with the Holy Ghost. Get so full of the Spirit of God that it runs out of you, man. That it's coming out of every pore of your body, that you light up like a Christmas tree when somebody mentions the name of Jesus, that we don't have to prime you for 40 minutes to listen to the Word. You come in here half-cocked when you walk in. Come on, turn it up, Pastor. And you come in here with that fire in you, man, that breathing down your throat, that just Holy Ghost fire. Woo! You know, back in the world, and I hate to compare things to these days, but I'm going to do it. You used to run around with some people that could, it took them like 12 beers to just get a buzz. And everybody's acting like, so holy right now, holy smoke. And then you had that friend that could drink half a beer. Woo! Dude, what, you weigh 30 pounds or what's your deal, man? Well, in the Spirit, I want to kind of be like that guy when I come in. I don't want to have to take all day to just get me pumped up to say hallelujah. I want to walk through the door ready to shout and give God everything I have. Fear fix your mind on things above, not on things below. Let your mind be heavenly minded. Come on. Let your mind be renewed. You walk in here Monday through Friday or through Saturday, you've been thinking on Jesus. You've been singing about Jesus. You've been reading about Jesus. And then when they get up and strike the first chord, you're about ready to come out of your skin because you've had so much Jesus. It's getting up to here. Somebody give him a shout. Come on, give him a wave. God, let me be spiritually minded. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Satan comes at you this week. He starts bringing that junk your way. He starts bringing those thoughts. You say, Talk to the hand because the mind ain't listening. I've been in church and my mind's been in the Word and I've been in prayer and I've been around some Holy Ghost people who aren't afraid to fire it up and give God everything they have in worship. Devil, you get out of my car. You get out of my family. You get out of my house. You get out of my property because I've given my whole self, body, mind, and spirit to God. Come on, give him a shout one more time. Hallelujah. Come on, give him a shout. Hallelujah. Come on, one more time. Give him your best praise.
Thanks so much for listening or watching the podcast today. And I just hope the service was a great encouragement to you, great blessing to your life. I hope you get the chance to join us sometime if you're ever near or in Elizabeth City area, because the atmosphere in this church is just, I mean, it's contagious and it's amazing. I'm constantly amazed at what God does every week in the lives of people. I'm privileged, humbled, honored to be part of it. If you're watching today and there are needs in your life, I want to say a prayer with you and pray with you over those needs. The greatest need that each person has, though, is for God to come into their heart and occupy that void or that vacuum that's in each human person. We were created to commune with God, to have a fellowship and relationship with Him. So if you're not serving the Lord, I'd love to pray with you. All you have to do is believe in your heart and confess with your mouth. Ask the Lord Jesus into your heart and an amazing life change will begin today for you. So if you'd like to pray with me, please just close your eyes, say these words with me right now. Father, I come before you in Jesus' name. I repent of all my sin. I give it all to you today. Take away the guilt, take away the shame, take away the judgment against me. I accept Jesus as the Lord of my life. Help me now to live the rest of my life as His servant and in fellowship with God. In Jesus' name we pray. And you can all say amen wherever you are, whether you're in your car, whether you're at work, whether you're at home, wherever you can praise the Lord a little bit right there in your own environment. Thanks so much for joining us. And join us on our website. Join us on one of our social media pages. Let us know what's happened to you. We would be so encouraged and blessed to hear. So until next time, God bless.